Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Gather Katie, you're too old. Oh, I thought you were. Okay. Time for the children to come down. I remember when she came, though.
All right. How are we this morning? Oh, we're a little slow. Has the cold got us down? All right. Aren't you glad to be here this morning?
Amen.
Yay, amen. You know, we just sang God's not ever going to let us down, is he? We've been talking about trusting God. We look to God for everything. I hope we should. Well, this morning we're going to play a little game. And years ago, and on television, might have been way back there when I was a little girl, we had black and white TV. We didn't have color TV. And I don't remember this show, but it was named Who Do You Trust? Anybody out there remember that? Before your time? It must have been before all of us' time. Who do you trust? Well, we're going to play a little game with it this morning. And what you do is I will ask one of you a question. Well, no. Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question. Who do you trust? Now, Joshua, if I ask you, who do you trust? And I have a Bible question. But guess what? You don't have to answer it. You're going to get to pick somebody who you trust way out there. Okay? Joshua, would you play that game with me? All right, Joshua, who do you trust?
My dad.
Okay, Dad. Where are you, Dad? Okay, I'm going to be the Bible question. We're putting you on the spot this morning. The question is, who got swallowed by the whale?
That would be Jonah.
Oh, give him a hand. Yay! Joshua, I think you can trust your dad for most anything, okay? Now, the next question is, who is green? Oh, I'm sorry. This is a television question. All right, I'm going to ask, who do you trust?
My brother.
Your brother. Where is brother? Is he way in the back? Okay, brother. Let's pick you since you're sitting on the end. You ready? Okay. The question is a television question now. Who is green and lives in a garbage can on Sesame Street?
He knows.
Your dad knows?
Okay, Dad. Oscar the Grouch.
Oh, is he right? Yes. Yay, let's give him a hand. Thank you. Okay, I think you can trust brother to ask Dad the question, okay? Oh, isn't that a fun game? Well, you know, I want to ask, who can you trust? In Psalms 23, it tells me. Now, David was probably put on the spot and asked, who do you trust? In Psalms 23, here it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, David was a shepherd. So what does a shepherd do? Watches his flock of sheep. That's right. And those sheep don't know any better. They trusted David, the shepherd. Now, if they got hungry, he would lead them to green pastures. And if they got thirsty, he would lead them to quiet waters. And if there was something out there that was trying to get them, like a wolf, now, I don't know if there were any wolves over there, but if they were in danger, he would protect them. Now, who is our shepherd? It just told us, didn't it? Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So who can we trust? Jesus. The Bible tells us right here. God has given us a shepherd to help watch over us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. My dear Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the trust that we can have in him. And he is our protector. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for playing our game this morning.
We're getting it. It's okay.
Matthew 18, in chapter 18, verses 12 through 14 says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one who went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." The song we're singing this morning is Reckless Love. And in the chorus, it talks about how Jesus leaves the 99 to seek us out individually. And so I looked at the definition of reckless, and it actually says doing something dangerous and not worrying about the possible results. So this morning, I want you to think about the fact that Jesus loves us with a reckless love. He didn't care about how it was going to affect him when he went to the cross, and he didn't care what he was giving up because he individually seeks out a relationship with each one of us. So that's what we're singing about this morning.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me.
Overwhelming, never ending.
earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
Well, if you want to be turning over to 2 Peter chapter 3, that's where we'll be this morning. I told someone we kind of are behind. It's interesting because I had, when I set this up, I had written some of these as sermons. If you were here Wednesday night, you got a sermon because that was where we were. And others were just lessons. And this is actually a lesson that I'm going to kind of on the fly, on the wing, and turn into a sermon. But I want you to notice something about the last four or five sessions we've had, whether you've been here or not. The Bible here in 2 Peter. I don't know why I said 2 Peter. I know why I said it, because it says 2 Peter lesson 11, and I was thinking that was 2. So anyway, 1 Peter, but anyway, the first or the last three or four lessons we've had have been about submission. I hope you have noticed that as an ongoing theme. And I'm glad that we're actually going through this, because you need to understand that there is a pattern here that Peter is giving us. So many times we want to preach about, oh, women submitting to their husbands, or, you know, we're supposed to submit to the government. We don't like to preach on that one very much, and we don't like to talk about submitting to our bosses or whatever. But if you notice, it started off submission to government, submission to your employer or who that is an authority over you, submission to your husband, and then Wednesday night we talked about husbands submitting to their wives. So you missed that if you didn't come, because that was an interesting thing. But the theme is submission. And that's something we all need to understand, that God expects us as Christians to submit to each other and to consider each other, no matter who it is, as more important than we are. And he tells us, submit to each other. And the reason he's doing that is because that is the way we show our submission to him. Don't tell me that you're submissive to the Lord when you refuse to submit to your boss at work, or you women, if you refuse to submit to your husband, or men, if you refuse to put your wife over you and treat her as a precious gift and be in submission to that idea, or you got this big beef about our government and their stupidity. And let's face it, there's some legitimacy to that. But regardless of that, we are called upon by the Word of God to submit to them. And the reason for that is that is how we are a good witness to lost people. And that is how we show them our submission to our God. And so that's an important thing. Now, this little section we're looking at today tells about, write this down, the blessings that are possible when this submission is going on. And so write that word blessings down, and let's look. I'm just going all over the place. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's begin reading at verse 8. It says, finally, be all of you of one mind, having compassion one to another. Now, that's what we're talking about. That's part of this submission thing. And let's see. Love as brothers, brethren, and be pitiful and be courteous. Being pitiful doesn't mean that you go around being pitiful. It means you pity people that need pity. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Give people a blessing, knowing that you are there unto called that you should inherit a blessing. That's where I got the title for this. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, and let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We see here that we are called to be a blessing. Did you pick that up in verse 9? We are called to be a blessing, knowing that you will inherit a blessing. Now, write this down. The best way to receive or get a blessing is to be one. The best way to be a blessing is not to return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Now, reviling is when somebody's yelling at you. The tendency is when somebody yells at you, what do you want to do? Yell back. And so that's what they're saying. When somebody starts yelling at you, now teenagers, let me just tell you this, because I have had teenagers in my home. And a teenager, whenever you disagree with them, in whether you're yelling or your voice is low, whether it's high, you're yelling. You know, parents, you know what I'm talking about. Well, you don't have to yell at me just because you disagree with them. That's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about being falsely accused, being yelled at, literally. Don't go back at people. That's hard to do, because that's our instinct to do that. God does not want us, in other words, to just be thinking about doing the right things. And folks, God doesn't want us to just be talking about doing the right things. He really just wants us to do the right things. That's what this is talking about. And when we are doing the right things, we are being a blessing, and people tend to do the right things back to us when we do the right thing to them. You want people to treat you right? You treat them right. That's the way that works. Now, in a sinful world, not always does that work itself out that way. You treat people right, and then they turn around and dump all over you. You know, and that happens. But the blessing comes from God. Because you know, as we're going to study this afternoon, there are going to be times we are going to be persecuted and things aren't going to go like we think they ought to be. We're going to go through suffering times here in this world. And that's one of the things that we're going to learn about this afternoon as we continue this. But the point is, if we are seeking to be a blessing, we will receive a blessing, if not from other people, but we will from God. Live the right way. In other words, write this down. Live and act like a Christian. Here's the thing. They started calling people Christians because they noticed that they were acting like Jesus. Now, that was kind of a term of ridicule, because they thought Jesus was a joke. They really did. When they started calling people Christians, it was not a compliment. It's like when people started calling people Baptists. That was not a compliment. Baptists were being ridiculed because of their weird idea of being baptized after you get saved. Even though the Bible taught that, that was just something that had been lost in the mainline church. And so they started making fun of people who baptized or rebaptized people, because most everybody had been baptized as an infant. And Baptists were teaching when you got saved, then you were rebaptized. They were called Anabaptists, and that was a term of ridicule. It's the same way with Christians. They were making fun of people. But it's a great honor to be called a Christian. Because, folks, that's what or who we are supposed to be like. Christ-like. Well, think about that. How did Jesus act? I think the best way to see how Jesus acted is the cross, because that's just kind of a micro picture of his entire life. As he was on the cross, how did he act? And the reason I chose that is because this afternoon we're going to talk about Christ's suffering and how it relates to our suffering. But how did he act? If you look at the cross, how did Jesus act as they're lying about him? Jesus never did anything wrong, but they're lying about him. He's saying he did. Well, in Luke 23:9, Jesus didn't answer. Not one word. He didn't revile back. They were reviling him. He didn't say a word about that. How did he act when they were cussing him out when he was on the cross? Well, Luke 23:34 says, "Father, forgive them." He prayed for them. How did Jesus act when they were beating him up in Mark 15:19? They hit him on the head with a club and spit on him and knelt down and had this fake worship service to him. He didn't say anything. Not one sound. Even when they were killing him on the cross, the only sounds he made, the only words he spoke, were words of blessing to others. Think about this, you know. He looked down there and he saw John, possibly the only disciple that showed up, standing there with his mama. And see, in that culture, if you didn't have a man to take up for you, and you were in trouble. And he thought about his mama and he said, "Take care of my mama, John." And the Bible says from that moment on, Mary lived with John. John treated Mary as his mother. And John lived. John was the disciple that survived the longest. In fact, he was possibly the only one that was not killed, probably died of old age. And I think part of that may have been because he was going to take care of Jesus' mama. But he was thinking about his mama. You know? Remember the poor, ignorant soldiers, they're down there, you know, gambling and cussing and drinking and for his clothes. Jesus didn't have no clothes. He was up there naked. And he looked down there and said, and he was talking about them when he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And then, you know, there was a thief up there. You remember the thief? And by the way, several people have asked me about this since last week or two, about this idea of, perhaps when you die, you stay in the grave and sleep until the resurrection day, then you're resurrected. That's not really biblical. What did Jesus tell the thief? He said, this day I'm going to see you. This day. Now, does that mean the physical body of the thief was in heaven? Of course not. On the resurrection day, our physical bodies will be resurrected. But until then, take comfort in this, folks. When you die, when your loved one dies, they immediately go to be with the Lord. And understand that. That's an important thing. But Jesus, even as he's up there dying, he's evangelizing. This guy believes in him. He believes in Jesus. He believes in him. And he says, "Remember me when you get to your home." He knew he was God. He knew Jesus was getting ready to go. He knew he was. He told the other thief, "We're getting what we deserve. We're sinners." He has never done anything, and he asked Jesus, "Remember me." He was saved on that cross, and Jesus said, "This day I'm going to see you." He was thinking, even on the cross, he's preaching. And I think about how we would act, you know. Verse 11, "Let us do away with evil and deny evil and do good." Do good. Write this down. You know, departing from evil is not good enough. Not good enough. Not good enough. We must be good. In other words, write it down. Evil must be replaced with goodness. And when this happens in our lives as Christians, then the blessings will be worked out. Now, understand, in this passage, it is not talking to lost people, okay? This is not a message here that Peter's giving to lost people. He's talking to people who are already Christians. These were, as we saw earlier, they were persecuted. They were being arrested and murdered. Their houses were being taken away and burned down. They were on the road, for the most part, going in from home to home and living as other Christians would take them in and have pity on them, and they were being persecuted. These were really Christians here, and he's not talking about you got to be good and this and that to be saved. That's not what the blessing is. He's talking to Christians, and he's saying, if you want to live out the Christian life and receive the blessings that God has for you, be good. You see, we're not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. Okay? Everybody says, well, my good works aren't going to save. I'm going to say, well, good thing they don't, because you don't do anything. You know, look, you are saved to work for King Jesus. And when you do, the blessings will be worked out. That's what it says in verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. What a great blessing, folks, to know that when we are doing what God wants us to do, He is listening, and He is there, and He is blessing us. Now, as we're going to see, sometimes those blessings come in the forms of suffering. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This idea that Christians never suffer and never need to go through tough times is a doofus, satanic, awful, unbiblical teaching. As we're going to have this afternoon, the two lessons we haven't actually Wednesday night too. But the point is, you know, if you want to get the blessings from God, then you are good, and the blessings have to do with here's God hears you, and God walks with you as you're going through life. I keep telling y'all, walk with the Lord, walk with the Lord, walk with the Lord, and sometimes it's not easy to do. If you want a good relationship with the Lord, then you try to be good. And so most of us are satisfied with a mediocre relationship with God. And so we just live mediocre Christian lives, and that's pretty much what we have. You know what? I don't even really want a good relationship with the Lord, Jay. I want a great relationship. I want an outstanding relationship with Him. And folks, that means walking daily, write it down, daily with Him. And when we do this, and we're walking along and we're holding His hand, He's there, and He hears us, and He leads us, and He guides us, and we understand. And well, sometimes we don't. There are times that we seem like we just don't hear from Him, but He's still there. You just keep walking. He's there. But a bad relationship is when He doesn't hear us or refuses to hear us. If you, again, go to verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Does that mean that we're lost? No. One of my children, when they were little, occasionally would get mad at Daddy. And I know that's hard for y'all to believe, but they did, or he did, she did. I'm not going to say he or she, but they didn't like me when they were mad at me. And I would go in to kiss them goodnight, and they wouldn't even look at me. They'd turn their back to me. And I'd try to talk to them, and they wouldn't talk to me. Normally, it didn't last long. Before the night was out, she'd be over at my, in my bed crying and wanting to hug Daddy goodnight, you know. And I think about that, and I think about sometimes that's the way the Lord is. You know, that didn't mean, and she would never have said, I gave it away, did it? She would never have said, you're not my daddy at all. But she was just ticked off at me, didn't want to look at me, didn't want me to, and wanted to punish me by doing that. And you know what I'm talking about. Some of you little girls know. And sometimes, and that's the way the Lord is. He wants you to understand that if you want to have a relationship, you've got to obey Him and submit to His authority. That's what all that authority thing was. He says, you know, if you want to have a great relationship with me, then you've got to submit yourself. Kids, if you want a great relationship with your parents, submit to them. Because if you don't, you're not going to have a great relationship. You're still going to be their kid, they're still going to be your parents, but it's going to be rough. And some of you said, I know what you're talking about, preach it. Some of you parents especially, you know. So the question comes, do you want the blessing that you're called to as Christians? Well, if you do, seek righteousness. Not just in your talk, write this down, but in your actions. And replace evil in your life with goodness. Jesus told the story about this guy that had this demon cast out of his life, and everything went along all right, but he didn't replace the demon. And soon many other demons came and replaced him and took over. So he had more problems than before. And if you do not replace evil in your life with goodness, you will have struggles. But if you replace the evil and the struggle in your life with goodness, then you'll be okay. You know, I was sharing about Larry, you know, and how much better he's doing because he got that puppy. He got a little puppy. His mama died, and he got a puppy, and he loves that puppy, and he's focused on that. And he takes the puppy around to all the older people in the nursing home, and they love that puppy, and he just is, he's just so, you know, it's great because he's replaced the discouragement and everything was something positive. I'm not a big positive power, positive thinking person, but the Bible's clear, you must replace the evil with goodness. And we're speaking not of salvation. I want you to understand that very carefully, clearly. We are speaking this morning that of a relationship a Christian has with the Lord. And Christians, you must be very conscientious about this. You must be very conscientious with the fact that you are going to get up every day and spend time with the Lord. You must be very conscientious of the fact that you are going to, whenever you decide you're going to be negative, and I struggle with this, that you're going to replace the negativity with something positive. You've got to be conscious of doing this because we live in an evil and a satanic world that wants to drag us down to their level. And we don't need to do that. And as I said, we're going to talk about the struggles that we as Christians go through because it all works together, the submission, the blessings, and then the struggles and the blessings in those struggles. And the blessing is being taught about this morning is for Christians. Now, this was a lesson for Christians. If you are not a Christian, there's not going to be these kind of blessings for you. What you can look forward to is death and eternity of separation with God in hell. And I pray that this morning you say to yourself, you know, I would like those blessings. I would like the blessings of having a Heavenly Father that that will be my daddy and take care of me. As Miss Deborah said, be my shepherd. Not too many things dumber than an old sheep, and we all need a shepherd. Jesus Christ, that's why he died on the cross. We've been talking about that. And he told that thief, he said, this day you could be with me. And he tells you that. He says to you, this day you could be with me in paradise. If you were to die right now, before you left this place, you would be with Jesus if you know him and have a relationship with him. Do you know that you're a sinner? Everybody's sinned. You know, you lie and you cheat and you do evil things and you think bad things and you watch things on the internet and TV and all that you shouldn't watch. You got all kinds of problems. Admit it. And say, I want to turn from all that sin to Jesus and believe in Jesus, that he was the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead, and call upon him today. Then, and only then, can you experience these blessings that we've talked about today. And as we're going to see this afternoon, then and only then can you go through the struggles that Christians go through. In fact, everybody goes through. So that's my invitation. My invitation would be, if you don't know Jesus, to come to him today. My invitation would be to Christians, if you're here and you're struggling, understand that there is a blessing available even in the midst of that struggle if you turn to Jesus and you seek to follow his word as it said today. Sometimes we make our own struggles. Anyway, would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I do pray that if there is someone here that does not know you as their Savior, that today they would come and admit that they need you. Lord, that life is tough. But with you holding on to us, we go through things and we have the greatest blessings of all. Not because of the world, not because of the things that happen. And Lord, we understand that we're not going to enjoy some of them. But we also understand that we can have blessing in the spite of them because we're walking with you. So I pray, Lord, during this time of invitation, if there is someone here, maybe somebody maybe wants to join a church or something. That's what this time is for too, but whatever your plan and is for us in this time and for us individually and as a church, we submit to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your heads bowed. Amy will play. And if you've got any reason, if you want to talk to me about Jesus, you come. If you'd like to join the church, you can come. If you just need to pray and kneel at the altar, you can come. You can pray at your seat, but whatever. Submit to Jesus, and he will give you the blessings that you're looking for, that you really need. Amen.